I want to look tonight for a few minutes, first of all, in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in a day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed thick leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. In the first portion in John chapter 3 that we've read tonight, we have a statement from the Lord Jesus Christ that means the difference between heaven or hell. The statement is, he must be born again. And if that's all that he brought out to mankind, that statement alone makes it very definitely clear that the only way that a person can be in God's heaven is to be born again. Now I know that word, that born again, is used and misused in the world today, because sometimes you hear people speak about somebody that many years ago was a great singer, and then they got away from the singing and got into sin or into drugs and so on, and they lost their voice for a while, and then they get back to the singing again, and they say they're reborn. Well, that's not the born again that God is speaking about. The birth that God is speaking about is a birth into the family of the living God. one might well ask the question that Nicodemus asked, how can these things be? Now, I want you to notice who he was speaking to. He was speaking to a most religious man. He was speaking to a rabbi of the Jews. He was speaking to a man that had God's religion. Because Nicodemus was brought up in the Old Testament religion, and I'm sure that he could give you the Ten Commandments on the end of his fingers, as it were. A man that was so religious that he was a teacher of God's law, had God's religion, and yet he did not know that he needed to be born again. It's not uncommon today to find many that are very religious, many that are very thorough in their religion, people that really mean what they go in for and are very adept in that religion and yet know nothing about being born again. I want to say right from the very beginning of these meetings that night after night we'll be stressing this point that unless a person is born into the family of the living God, they cannot, they will not, it's impossible for them to be in God's heaven. And yet isn't it true that most people would like to be in heaven rather than being in hell? And I want to say again as I'm passing by right here, it's one thing or the other. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. And the only way that a person can shun the awful consequences of sin, which is the judgment of God, the only way that can be done is if they have a new birth into a new family and saved by the grace of God. Now then, the reason I read then in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 is simply, we're going back to the beginning to find out where this all went wrong. Why is the world in the condition that it's in tonight? Why is there sin? Why? Of course, now I have to stop here for a minute because an awful lot of people, they would say, what is sin? Like one man said to Mr. Piercy one time when Mr. Piercy was talking to him about sin and judgment and so on, and the man that he's talking to, he looked at him, he said in all surprise, he said, Mr. Piercy, what could my wife be guilty of? So you see, that man didn't realize what sin really is. And I want to say starting right off here that sin is anything that's against the God of heaven, and even a wrong thought is sin. I know most people have the idea that sin is if somebody were to murder somebody, and that is sin. Or if they were to be a thief or a robber, that is sin. And some of the terrible things that's happened in the world out of sin, they would go along with that. But when it comes down to the fact that God says the plowing of the sin of the wicked is sin, how can that be? And again he says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. How could that be? Now the reason God says that simply is this. You and I, and there's many here tonight I haven't seen before, and we're glad you're here, and we do hope you'll come back again. Although we will be blunt and we will be plain in our preaching from night to night, we haven't time to pass out cookies or candy. We have only what the Scripture says, the reliable Word of God, which is unvarnished, and it's truthful. You can depend on it. There's no mistakes in it, and from start to finish, there's no contradictions. And the Word of God from start to finish has one aim in view, and that is to show man, first of all, he is a sinner. And then to show him that the way that those sins can be forgiven. Isn't it good of God to do that? You know, when you stop and consider the fact that God in heaven, the God of eternity that never had a beginning, and he made this world and put a garden in it, put a man in it, breathed into that man and breath of life, and man became a living soul. Away with the idea that we came from from tadpoles and monkeys and stuff. The Word of God is so plain, and the Word of God shows us where we came from, and shows us the reason why we need this new birth. And why is it? It all went wrong way back in the Garden of Eden. God said to the man in the Garden of Eden, now I want to say is a, just first of all, that when he made that garden, it was a perfect place. Perfect. There was no sin. When he made man, first of all, he wasn't a sinner. He was a perfect man. Couldn't be anything else when he came to the hand of God. When he made the woman for the man, she was a perfect person, a perfect woman. I believe she was the most beautiful creature that ever could be. She came from the hand of God. There was no sin in them. There was no sin as far as God is concerned in the garden. The animals, they knew nothing of the consequences of sin. But because of sin, because of what happened, the very creation of the animal creation now are groaning because of what happened there in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all went wrong. That's why I'm going back to it. And we have to start off there. When they were in that garden now, in a perfect place, with no death, and I'll say this as I'm going by right now, if Adam had not sinned, he would be alive and well tonight. And his heart pumping just as strong as when God gave it to him. Because death is the result of sin. So what happened here? When the serpent came into the garden and came to Eve and said, "Hath God said?" Now what's he saying? Oh, he's so subtle. And all he's doing is just to try to find out what she really knows of what God has said. Because I'm going to say again as I'm going by here, the person that gets saved, the only way he knows he's saved is because of what God says. That's the only thing that we can look to. It's the only way that we can know we're saved. We don't know we're saved because of our feelings. I'm glad of that. Because there's some days I don't feel, I was going to say feel saved. I'm glad I don't have to feel it. I'm glad that God's salvation is based on the unerring word of the living God. It's like Gibraltar. It can't be moved. And if this word were to fail, we'll all be under the judgment of God. So the word of God can't fail. And so he wants to find out, what does she know of what God says? And he says, "Hath God said?" And she said, now listen to what she answers. She says, "God has said, we shall not eat of it, neither shall we touch it." Now, God didn't say that. It's so important to get a hold of what God said, not to add to it or take away from it. It's so important to rely on this book, this word. It's the living word of the living God. And it will stand the test of all the infidels and so on that's ever been and ever will be. God said, "Thou shalt not eat thereof." She added, "We shall not touch it." God didn't say that. Right away, the devil knew she doesn't really understand and know for sure what the word of God says. Then he comes in with a lie. Then he says, "God knows." As much as to say, he's only fooling you, and he's not telling you the truth. God does know that in the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And you know, he hasn't changed his tactics too much. He's still rhyming out the same thing across this nation and across the United States. And the big thing now in the New Age system is, you can be your own God. That's what he told our mother Eve. He's still at the same thing. And the trouble is, people haven't learned of his tactics. And they're going in with it. And it's sweeping the country. And even little children, well, I was saying somewhere lately, little children that are in the schools, in some of the schools in the United States. Gurus are there, and they're getting them to lie in a circle, 10, 11, 8, and 9 years of age, in a circle, feet to feet, in a circle, and they're saying to them, now meditate and get everything negative out of your mind, and think positively. You can be whatever you want. In fact, you can be your own God. That's what's sweeping the nations. And what's happening, if you're to take everything that's negative out of your mind, you're taking them away from the idea that we are sinners. Oh, it's something desperate that's sweeping this land today. So, he said, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. She took of the fruit. She did eat. She gave to her husband. And he did it. And the moment that happened, that split second that happened, that very action of disobeying God, it broke, it cut the link between God and man. Man on earth at that time, before that moment, was in happy harmony with heaven. God could speak to man. He had a representative of him on earth that had dominion over the whole thing. And that very moment, that link was severed, and he died spiritually toward God. No, he didn't fall down and die physically. He lived for many years after that. He had sons and daughters born onto them after that. And you see, that's where you and I come in. The only thing Adam and Eve could produce from then on was another sinner. And that's the reason why the Cain killed his brother. He was a sinner. And that's the reason why his brother Abel brought an offering unto the Lord, is because he was a sinner. And right down from one to another, right down to this present day, the only thing that has come by that union, away back in the beginning, sinners. That brings us back now to John 3 and 3. God says, the Lord Jesus says, you must be born again. You see, let's put it this way. If God was to allow one sinner, or one sin, into heaven, heaven would cease to be heaven. God would cease to be God. And we would ruin even the heavens above. That's why then we need to have this new birth into the family of the living God. Now, let me clarify something I just said there. God will never allow a sinner to heaven. And so we're not saying for one moment that because we're born into the family of God, we're saying that we're living without sin. I'm not saying that. Nobody can live without sin in this world while we're in this body. Redemption has only reached our soul so far. We're still living in a body. But the day is coming, those of us who are saved, our bodies will be changed as well and will be presented before God without a taint of sin. And the persons that are saved even now are justified from their sin. They're put in a position where they're sin has no more dominion on them. That is, sin will never, the punishment will never be cause another. And that's the reason why we were singing in the beginning of the hymn, in the meeting tonight, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. That's why God in His sovereign electing mercy and grace has given His Son into this world. I think, you know, in the day in which we're living, an awful lot of people have the idea that the Lord came into this world, or Jesus came into this world so that they could celebrate Christmas. And that's about all they get out of it. Well, thank God He was born. But there was a reason He was born. And the reason that He was born into this world was so that He could die. Well, says somebody, why would He have to die? Well, we get back to Genesis again now. You see, the two runs together here. We go back to Genesis. What did God say? He says, in the day thou eatest the rock, thou shalt surely die. Therefore, now it wouldn't take a Philadelphia lawyer or a Vancouver lawyer either to figure out that what God is saying, death is the punishment for sin. Now would it? Any child could take that in. Death is the punishment. Then if somebody is going to take our place, somebody who hasn't sinned will have to die. Either that or the sinner will have to die. So we're all sinners. We're born that way. We can't help it. If there was no way of salvation from our sins, every one of us would have to bear our sins. But there's many in the company tonight, and there's many around this globe tonight, that know what it is to have their sins forgiven. Why? Because death has been taken place. The death of an innocent victim, the Lord Jesus Christ, died between two thieves in order to put away sin. What a Savior he has been. We were hearing about him last night, and we'll hear more about him from night to night. The point is this. What we're going to try to get across from night to night is this. Although we have sinned, and although we are steeped in sin, and although our sins deserve eternal death, there was one that came from heaven, knowing our position and our condition, and the only one that could do anything about it. And you know something? If it hadn't been for God looking down in this world and providing this Savior, we would be lost forever. And I often think about when they put the Sputniks up into the air there many years ago. I think it was the first spaceship they had. And there was something went wrong so that they didn't know whether they were going to get that thing into the right trajectory to bring it back to Earth again. And as it comes back into the Earth's atmosphere, if it doesn't hit it in the proper angle, it'll bounce off and go out into the universe, never to be retracted. If that had happened, and those two men had landed out there, they would be lost. You see, they would be away from this world. They would be lost from our little globe. When sin entered this world, when Adam and Eve sinned, this whole globe was lost. And if it hadn't been for the goodness of God, we would just have kept going and going and going until Judgment's Day, and the whole thing would have been cast into the lake of fire. But God, in His mercy, He looks down upon us in our terrible need, and He provided a salvation whereby sinners can go to His heaven and dwell with Him forever. What a Savior! May God help somebody in this meeting tonight to get to realize that you need salvation. You need this new birth. We'll talk about it on the nights a little further. But the point is this. The only way a person can be in heaven, no matter what religion he is, no matter where he goes on a Sunday, no matter what kind of religion he may go in for, the only way that person can be in heaven is to be born into God's family through the Lord Jesus Christ.